We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all are talking about this show. Whew. I mean, from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call Fort Benning once again. Benning. And big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi, too, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, dialing in, watching the live stream inside the studio with us in places like Facebook, YouTube, X, Rumble, and our website, rightsidemedia.org, and then all of y'all that podcasted after the fact. Listen, we love you. We thank you. The only reason why this is even worth doing is because of y'all. So thank you very much for making our day just by being a part of our audience in whatever way you do it. All right, every Friday, we do this thing. We come in halfway through hour number two, and we jump on in with something totally different. So we're going to set aside policy, politics, and Bitcoin right now, and we're going to jump into a little round of something we call JP on Sports. If you did not already know, JP himself is a sports aficionado. Name the sport, he can tell you something about it. But he's really good at encapsulating stories, even finding conservative content in the middle of it all. And we break it up into two sections. One's called The Three and Out, top three stories as he sees it. And the next is called The 2 Minute Warning. He also has, oh, by the way, the best sound effect of all of us, courtesy of some sorority girls from Auburn. JP on Sports. Hit it.
JP on Sports!
Whoop, whoop. All right, man. Three and out. Take it. Run.
So I felt like we needed to do a bit more of a deep dive or more of a discussion on the story you briefly mentioned yesterday with the San Jose State volleyball situation.
Yeah.
Apparently, so to refresh people's memory, this guy who wanted to be a girl and his new name was Blair Fleming, and he was participating on San Jose State's volleyball team. And actually, there were other teammates of his that were unhappy with this, that there was a biological male on their team. They, you know, weren't necessarily punished, but they were sort of alienated. Like, they didn't get their concerns were falling on deaf ears. And there were actually other teams who were forfeiting their games against San Jose State and hurt themselves in terms of their positioning in the conference tournament because those forfeits counts as losses. So, in other words, San Jose State was getting wins from teams that were forfeiting because they had a biological dude on their team. It's just a complete disaster. But now we have this girl who was a co-captain on that team. Her name is Brooke Slusser, who is now claiming, and being investigated, I believe, that there was actually an instance because Brooke Slusser spoke up, was one of the girls who told the school they were unhappy with this. And apparently, Blair Fleming then, when they were on the road, left the team hotel, sneaked out, went and met with a player on the other team of the team they were playing. I'm not sure which team it was.
Colorado.
And pretty much came up with a plan to leave the net open and so that Brooke Slusser could then get spiked, essentially, and get injured. And can I just say, not only is it extremely dangerous that you got a biological male in locker rooms with girls, and those girls, when they speak up, are being completely ignored, but now you got him deliberately trying to hurt his teammates that were speaking up against this.
Yeah.
So that's not only, like I said, just inherently dangerous that they're on the same team, but now you've got him deliberately trying to injure his teammates just because they're speaking up and they don't like it.
Yeah. This story's got legs, and it needs.
Yeah.
The investigation needs to be thorough.
Now, I think we're starting to win the culture war as a whole because we're seeing instances of males who are trying to compete as women being told they can't compete in certain tournaments. There was that one track runner I told you, I think it was 2 weeks ago. So I think, and as a whole, the tide is turning, but I think that's not enough. You've got to capitalize and make sure that this doesn't happen again. People need to be punished. Heads need to roll over this. The president who deliberately ignored the players that were openly speaking out.
Even threatened them, I think.
Threatened them. And then when he was asked about it, he kind of threw up his hands and stormed out like a little girl. That guy needs to be held completely accountable because, like, you're in a position that you need to protect your girls. When they're speaking up and telling you that they feel scared, that and aren't happy, they don't feel safe, it's your job to make sure that they feel safe and to protect them. it's that guy needs to lose his job for. I mean, he didn't do his job in that scenario, in my opinion. If he's going to ignore them, but then also demonize them and make them feel bad for. How dare you feel unsafe that you got a biological male in locker rooms with you? Like, how dare you? That's crazy of you.
The whole thing reeks of first world. You know, yes. It's like third world people don't think of this kind of stuff. Only in the first world can we ever see this kind of thing happen, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's – and, you know, when I first heard this story, I just – I mean, I grew up playing sports, and I thought about, you know, whenever I had disagreements with my teammates or teammates of mine had disagreements with other teammates of theirs. I mean, there are several times in high school, you know, football practices, there were fights during practice and stuff. Like whenever, like we got to the actual game, like all that was done, we're brothers, we're teammates, we're playing the game together. So not that just, I'm not even focusing on the aspect that he's a dude, but he's so twisted in his mind that he's having a disagreement with his teammate and he's conspiring with an opponent to hurt his teammate.
Yeah.
You know, that's like in football, if I think there's actually a scene, and remember the Titans of this, you know, if I got a beef with a running back and I'm the lineman, hey man, I'm gonna let you go on this block.
Oh yeah, that's right. Miss the block intentionally.
Yeah. Or I got a beef with the quarterback. Say, hey, I'll whiff on the block. You hit him as hard as you can. You know, like that has no place in sports as a whole, but you add that on top of the fact of him being a transgender, like that just, That right there is indicative that this is not a sane human being.
Nope.
So I think that story deserves to get some recognition. I've seen Fox News interviewing Brooke over this. So it's getting the recognition it deserves, but it deserves to be like, you gotta make it count. You gotta punish the people who were responsible.
Well,
for
at least
this.
One major network is interviewing.
That's
at
true.
Least.
At least yeah. one. Yeah. yeah. So.
Oh, good stuff. Well, listen, yeah, I think that story does have legs, and it deserves to have legs. And the fact that those girls had to sue their own college is just absolutely asinine. But anyway, all right, that's number one. What's two?
Well, it is just about football season again.
Whoop,
we
whoop.
Had the Hall of Fame game last night, which is the first NFL preseason game of the year. Every year where we had the Chargers and the Lions playing in Canton, Ohio, where the Chargers ended up winning 34-7. But there was a big part in this game. So apparently the NFL this year is getting rid of the chains, like the first down chains.
They're getting rid of them altogether?
Yeah, and they're moving to a new system. The name of the system escapes me, but you know how the tennis system where they can tell if a ball has gone out of bounds or not, and they go in and you kind of see the shadow. It's some sort of kind of like what they use with golf, like the lines like on TV to, you know, I don't know the name of the system, but they're kind of going to that model, like what tennis uses to see if the balls are out of bounds. So they actually displayed this during the game, and you can see the first down marker, and they have a position of where the ball is marked, and it's basically all digital. The line is digital. You don't need the first, you know, actual chain crew to go and check. They're going strictly digital on this. And my initial thought when I saw this is like, okay, well, the chain crew is not the problem. It's the ref's spot of the ball that is the problem,
okay.
Right? You know, so maybe we need to get some microchips in, you know, the NFL balls, and you can see, you know, digitally where the ball actually is instead of relying on the ref. But hopefully, you know, I don't know how I feel about this. We'll have to see if it actually is useful. It may save time to where you don't have to run out with the chain.
Yeah,
know?
But that's this, so part of the legacy.
Yeah,
you know, it's like bring
true.
Out the chains.
It's just, fun. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We probably won't see this go to college or other sports.
Certainly not high school.
Certainly not high school. Unless,
at least not in Alabama. Maybe in Texas.
Man, unless you're like Matter Day and have all the money they have or something. But yeah, it's a step into this new era of sports. Like the MLB has flirted with robo umps, maybe.
I was going to say.
But they've been testing out. They tested it out in the All-Star game, I believe. They also have been testing it out in the minor leagues where you can actually challenge striker balls, and they'll put up on the screen the computer strike zone to see if the ump was right. So it's, I think this right now, the change is just going to end up saving time, and that's all it's going to be. But I do think it's interesting to see how much more digitalized the sports world is going to become. And who knows, we may just be having AI refs altogether.
Yeah. Next thing you know, Elon Musk is going to announce that he's coming up with the next version of computerized reffing.
Yeah. So no more chains, digitalized chains. It's interesting.
That's
but yeah,
crazy.
We'll see how it plays out in
and
the NFL season.
Is this a trial run, like a beta test? Or
no,
they're
doing it. They've decided to do it. So this was just the first. This was not like a testing out in preseason. This is how it's going to be for this NFL season.
Okay, let me ask a quick question on that, though. Mm-hmm. Because the watching the chains is a part of the ability of the player to look over and tell where he is on the field next to the ball.
Sure.
And for the quarterback to be able to assess whether he's made a first down play or not. Mm-hmm. So, and the runner to be able to see if he's getting past the post.
Yeah.
It's not just the chain on the ground, it's the posts that are standing up. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do? Are they going to have a post of any kind?
They actually don't just have post whenever they were there. The chain marker. The refs actually stand. So there's a ref on the line of scrimmage, and there's one on the first down line. So I assume they're just going to have a ref like, hey, you're designated. You stay on the first down marker.
Wow.
You know? So it's going to be interesting for sure.
Let's just get rid of goalposts, too. Just kick it, and they'll tell you whether it magically went to the right spot.
Kick on a big screen.
That's right.
It's like with golf, with the golf simulator, yeah.
All right, that's two. What's three?
Well, kind of along the same thread, fall camp has just started for college football. I can't believe we're like just a month away from college football now. But it is interesting because with the Alabama is really the main SEC school with the quarterback battle. Most of the other schools have their quarterback figured out. You know, Auburn's got Jackson Arnold. Tennessee did have Imalava, but then he's no longer there. So Tennessee has now got a new quarterback, but he's going to be the starter. But we do have a battle at Tuscaloosa between Austin Mack, Keelan Russell, and then Ty Simpson. It has been pretty much the everybody's kind of understood that Ty Simpson more than likely is going to be the starting quarterback at Alabama. You know, he paid his time. He's a fifth-year senior. He was a backup all 5 years, and he didn't leave. He didn't go to the transfer portal. He waited out his time, so now this is his time. So everybody's just kind of assumed he would be the guy. But now we have confirmation of that, where the Alabama offensive coordinator has pretty much said, you know, he's by and far the starting quarterback right now, and he's had the most command of the offense throughout the year or throughout the offseason. Yeah, but he also said, though, Keelan Russell, who's the highest-ranked recruit in Alabama history, has made the most strides in the offseason from all the quarterbacks. So who knows? You know, if for some reason Ty Simpson starts to slip, it looks like Keelan Russell may be ready in the second-string quarterback to come on in. Or it's also optimism for whenever Ty Simpson leaves, Keelan Russell could be in position to be the guy. So I think right now it's pretty clear to say Ty Simpson's winning the job at Alabama, but who knows? You know, like I said, anything can happen after that. So we'll see if Keelan's ready to take the keys if they're prompted to him.
All right, there it is. Three and out. You got the top three stories as JP sees it. JP on Sports, round one. We come back. Next one for round two, we call the two-minute warning. A series of sports stories. 2 minutes. I've got a timer and a buzzer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back to round two of JP on Sports. This is the section we do. We call it the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. He's got multiple stories, no more than 2 minutes each. Ready? Go.
All right, so the Caitlin Clark WNBA story has been drug on out, and rightfully so, I think, because when you have an instance where Caitlin Clark's fellow players rank her ninth in terms of overall players in their league, like, there's a clear it's clear that they hate Caitlin Clark, and that's what it is becoming to. You see the players decking her for no reason. Like, it's one thing to foul, you know, the other team's best player hard, but this is a constant theme, right? And yeah, it's clear that there's some sort of jealousy amongst the fellow players of Caitlin Clark. You can claim it's race, you can claim it's not, whatever it is, there's a clear jealousy there. However, we've seen Sophie Cunningham, who is Caitlin Clark's teammate, stick up for several times on the court. There was one instance where after Caitlin Clark got fouled hard, that same player went up for a layup and got fouled even harder by Sophie Cunningham, right?
Like, took her completely off
the
court.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she went on a podcast and in a very expletive-filled
Sophie did?
Rant, yeah. Oh, wow. Said that if you're a WNBA player and you're not acknowledging that Caitlin Clark is the face of the WNBA, then you're just dumb. Like, you're not acknowledging reality. So it's nice to see that. It's refreshing to see. I mean, obviously, they're teammates, so she's going to stick up for her teammate. But we've seen the viewership with the WNBA. Whenever Caitlin Clark was hurt earlier this year, it tanked by over 50%. That is a large margin of folks not watching WNBA anymore when Caitlin Clark is not playing. So, you know, who knows? Hopefully over time that the other WNBA players will kind of wake up and smell the roses, that Caitlin Clark is going to be a tide that can rise all boats if you just accept it. But I think Sophie Cunningham is speaking the truth. But not only is she speaking the truth, she's saying it openly, and just she's saying what everybody else has known all along, and it is refreshing to see that. So like I said, maybe over time we'll see, you know, the jealousy start to fade, but as of now I think it's still going to be alive and well.
Wow.
It's going to make, hey, it is going to be entertaining watch, though.
It's a little dangerous, though. I got to be honest. The way they're treating her.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
the animal. Oh, there it is. Sorry. Oh, buzzer. All right. Let me clear the clock and reset. Story number two. Go.
So I'm going to keep talking about Bruce Pearl because it's clear. It's clear that he is positioning himself for something. And I almost want to say future 2028 senator candidate, but I won't go there yet. I will say, though, he's continuing to pick the right fights, I think, because he appears to be trying to spark a feud with Barack Obama. So I don't know if you've seen this, Phil, but he's going after Obama directly on Twitter about his stance on Gaza and Israel and claiming that, you know, Barack Obama enabled Iran greatly during his time as president and helped create this disaster that we see in the Middle East between Israel and Iran, which I think is pretty accurate. But however, I think, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like I mention this every time, but I think every week Bruce Pearl one-ups himself even more of like, I think it's just clear that he's positioning himself for a post coaching politician career. I feel like it's pretty obvious to me. And it's, you know, I think it'd be a hard gig to leave Auburn, you know, with the millions of dollars he's making. They just made the Final Four last year.
Yeah.
And I truly think the only reason he's not running this upcoming election is because he can't. You know, he gave money to Democrats. He can't run as a Republican. But I think he's doing all the right stuff. You know, in the meantime, you know, wait for the time period to pass before you can run as a Republican. Pick a fight with Obama. Go at the top. Obama is the top dog to go after the Democratic Party. So I think right now he's just continuing to position himself. But I think he's smart. I think he's smart for doing that.
It would be hard. It would be hard to do because it's decidedly harder when you're not a part of a party. But what if he ran as an independent with his name, ID, and money? He could do that. Just saying.
I don't know if he's that dumb. I don't think he's that. Listen, if you're gonna leave the Plains and your million-dollar job as the Auburn's basketball coach, you're running to win. I think he would have a hard time beating the R on the other side.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like I said, maybe future 2028 Senate candidate Bruce Pearl. In the meantime, he's gonna pick a fight with Obama and get his name ID.
And there's our timer. All right, reset the clock. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Well, we got a very interesting event this weekend where we got the Braves and the Reds are playing at Bristol inside the racetrack. And
really?
I'm going to put up a picture on the live stream here so you can see what it looks like. So the Bristol Speedway holds 146,000 people, and they're pretty much going to sit at the baseball field in the infield of the Speedway. So this is going to be a spectacle, to say the least.
Are they sold out?
Oh, yeah, it's sold out, yeah. And actually, there's been some funny people have posted. So if you're kind of on the back end, you know, where the, like, on the end of the seats there, you don't have the best view in the world. There's going to be a lot of people there that may be quite upset when they get there and realize they can't even see the field. I'm all for this. I think this could be a very fun watch. It is unfortunate, though, that Ronald Acuna has tweaked his Achilles. Is not going to be able to play in this game.
Oh, really?
But it's still going to be.
He just came off the injured list.
I know. Listen, that's the Braves season right there for you. But I think this is going to be amazing to watch. The Bristol Speedway, I think this is going to set a record for most fans at a baseball game. But who knows? Maybe in the future we could get a Talladega game right down the road.
Are they going to run cars around the track just for grins first?
No, but that would be great.
I think
that would be awesome. Maybe let the players themselves, you know, race before the game. That'd be quite awesome.
Or the mascots.
Yeah, I'd love to see Blooper making his way around the track in a car.
That's it. You came in under the wire on it, but that's it. That's JP on sports. Oh, yeah. Listen, we're going to switch gears. We're going to do a little home fries, starting off a call at the top of the hour here, coming up next with State Senator April Weaver. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.